In 1665, there was a tailor in a place called Iam. Now, Iam in Derbyshire, that's right in the middle of England. And he was waiting for a bolt of cloth coming up from London, and the bolt of cloth arrived. And after it had arrived, the events that actually transpired from that bolt of cloth caused three quarters of the villagers to die. Three quarters of the villagers died because of a bolt of cloth arriving from London. The reason for that is that it arrived during the time of the Great Plague of London, and it carried fleas with it. Now, Iam is pretty notorious. It's notorious is the wrong word, but it's certainly notable because Iam went into quarantine on its own volition, and they saved all the people round about. But as I say, three quarters of them died. Now, the two rectors or pastors or church people that actually organized the quarantine of Iam had quite a history to look back on regarding the Black Death, regarding the plague. And as far as looking back, it's 300 years it plagued Europe. It had actually gone, you know, it would go, suddenly appear in a city and 10% of the population would be wiped out. And you go to another city and you find 30% of the population wiped out. Or another city, 20% of the population wiped out. And this has been going on for 300 years. And when it first came into Europe, that was in 1348 it was, when it actually arrived in Europe. In the next 4 years, half of Europe population had died because of the plague. And it was not consistent across the board. What in fact happened was in Britain and in Germany, it was 20%. But when you come to the southern states, when you're looking at the southern states of South France and Italy and Spain, it was 80% of the population in 4 years had died. Now, we've never seen anything even remotely, even coming anywhere even remotely close to that. And yet, at that time, through those 300 years, there'd be movements and various people giving prognostications, saying that the end of the world was here, that this was the end of the world, Jesus Christ was returning, and because of what they were actually witnessing. Now, we can see that the end of this age is very, very close, and there are various signs to witness the fact that the end of this age is very close. But, well, what is it? You know, one of the there's several indications that you can see, but let's take the one that is probably the most valid indication. The most valid indication is the spiritual mind of this people, that's the most valid. But one of the physical things the most valid is the fact of technology, is the fact of technology and the Daniel fulfillment of Daniel 12, which talks about many rushing to and fro and knowledge being vastly increased. And the technology is needed for other things as well to be able to be seen. The fact that unless the days are shortened, no flesh is going to be saved alive. Now that's going to really take technology. Until 53, that wasn't possible. Taking the gospel to all the world as a witness, and then shall the end come. That again, you require technology to do that. Seeing the bodies of the two witnesses. It's going to take technology to actually see for the entire world to rejoice over them and to see those bodies. So technology is seen in many aspects of the end time position that we find ourselves in today. But what I want to do today is I'd like to focus on a particular vital aspect. And the vital aspect concerns this gizmo, the smartphone. And you might think the smartphone, you know, what has the smartphone got to do with the end time? Well, in fact, it has a great deal to do with the end time. And if people are like titles for sermons, the sermon title is Smartphones and the Army of Joel. And the Army of Joel. Smartphones and the Army of Joel. Because there are aspects within the smartphone that are needed to have the fulfillment of the Army of Joel. And it's worth, when you actually pick up your smartphone and you answer, you use it, and be it as a computer, as a camera, as a the phone, perish the thought, but when you use the smartphone, I'd like you to think about it and just think about this sermonette. Let's kick off, therefore, with Revelation 9, Revelation chapter 9, and put it into its context, because the army of Joel is mentioned here. Now, so Revelation chapter 9, now the fifth angel sounded in verse 1, and it's interesting, it goes into the bottomless pit. This is as far as Europe is concerned, and you're looking at helicopters or something like helicopters that come out of the smoke of the pit. Now that's the fifth angel. But when you get the sixth angel sounding, that's in verse 13, then you have something else, something different to actually witness. Now I remember listening to a sermon from a minister back in the 60s who recognized the fifth angel as being, the fifth trumpet as being helicopters of some description. But he tried to say that the sixth angel, or sixth trumpet, was talking about tanks. I remember as a teenager, I sat there and I listened and I read what I could see in the scriptures. I thought, well, the helicopters, I can see helicopters. Helicopters are visible in there. But tanks, I don't see tanks climbing in through a window. Tanks go through the window and they take the house with it, but it doesn't do the same thing as far as what we see in the army of Joel and the countering passage here in Revelation. But here in Revelation, it gives some background to this. In verse 13, the sixth angel sounded, and remember, the seventh angel sounds and Jesus Christ returns. So this is a crucial point within history, within the prophecy. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. That's the altar of incense. Which is interesting, actually. That's another point. In a sermon, I can't deal with that. Not allowed to deal with that. Anyway, but just think about it, that the prayers of the saints go before God. So it's an interesting point. Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound up the great river Euphrates. So it's to the east. What's to the east of Jerusalem? Well, you go to India, you go to China. Where are most of the chips and everything else coming from for these things? They're coming from China. This, in fact, is a Chinese phone. It's a clone of something or other, probably the Samsung 7 without a battery or something. But anyway, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound up in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. So 200 million strong. Now, when you take these machines, or whatever you want to call these things, whatever they are, and you're going to have service personnel, how many people will actually fit within each one of them? I mean, how many in a tank? Four? In a tank, something like that. I would say a minimum of two. You probably need some kind of guidance, somebody, a pilot, and you need somebody in the weapon systems. So you're looking at about 100,000 of the machines. But then you've got all your service personnel as well. So you're looking at tens of, 100 million, I meant, not 100,000. So you're looking at tens of millions of these machines required. Tens of millions of these machines to be generated. And this is why I say, this is quite a significant piece of device, because this contains robotic systems within it. It's robotic systems that actually govern various aspects of the machine itself. And that's precisely what's needed when you're looking at the army of Joel and looking at this army here. And when you're looking at 200 million, in other words, with the service personnel and so on, you're looking at tens of millions of these machines that need to be manufactured. You need the industrial capability. You need the actual people involved themselves with the technical expertise. And we can see that now in the Far East. And then, when did these things come into being? These are a 21st century invention. In other words, 1999 was the first smartphone. You didn't have them before that. They were ordinary cell phones before that. So the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million, and I saw the horses in the vision and then sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses with the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three, with the third part of men, were killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone that issued out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed, yet they repented not. So here is the a pointer at what is actually coming as far as the end time events, and the end time events just before Christ appears. You can tie it in also as well with the seven last plagues, and it's the final but one of the last plagues as well. They mirror each other if you actually look at them, one overlays the other. This is to do with Satan's wrath on the world. When you look at the last plague, it's what God actually is doing, what Christ is doing. But let's turn over to Joel, to Joel 2, which is a key verse in that sense. And it's interesting, in Revelation 16, that talks about this event again, that the Euphrates is dried up, that the way of the kings of the east may be coming through. So again, it's the eastern powers that are coming through. And then God, Christ, gathers them together in Armageddon, which is the one we just read, is to do with them coming to actually fight the beast power. But in Revelation 16, it's they're getting ready for Armageddon in that sense. But here in Joel 2, verse 1, it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, and it's now at hand." So we're looking at a time just before the day of the Lord. Now Christ's return starts the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord will then go on for eternity. But the day of God's wrath, which also begins that day of the day of the Lord. This is the day of the eternal comes, for it's near at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of cloud and thick darkness, and the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, and there's not been ever the like, and neither shall there ever be more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind a flame burns. And we see the same kind of wording being used over in Revelation that we just read. And it says, "The land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yes, and nothing shall escape them." But I want you to notice, verse 4, the appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. A tank doesn't exactly do that, doesn't fit the bill. Because it then says, "Like the noise of chariots and the noise of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of the flame of fire that devour the stubble and strong people in battle array." And certainly tanks don't leap, but these things leap. So there's some kind of legged devices of some description. The miniaturization that you find within a smartphone is only the only thing that would be possible. Make possible the kind of arms and legs or whatever you're looking at in this particular passage of scripture. But if you put your hand on a hot stove, what happens? Well, you take it off. But do you think, "Oh, I've got my hand on a hot stove," and then take it off? Well, that's not the way it works. It comes off anyway. It comes off before you even think about it. Literally, it comes off before you think. And the reason for that is there's processing in your arm, in the nervous systems of your arm, and the actual recoil and the reflexes, like you tap the knee and the reflexes occur. It's a processing that's actually in the limb itself. Well, the same thing as far as robotics is concerned. You've got to have processing in the actual limbs themselves. And if to get that kind of processing, you've got to have the miniaturization. This is the kind of thing that gives you the miniaturization. They say you might be completely different from something that you think of being robotic, and yet it is in many respects. Voice recognition is a robotic function. How do you do that? It's an AI function, it's an artificial intelligent function. The software used is an AI kind of software. And it's the same kind of thing used in legs and arms and so on of these, presumably of these robots of some description that carry individuals. It says, notice verse 7, "They shall run like mighty men, they'll climb the wall like men of war." And again, you're not the third tank. It just is not a tank. We haven't seen these things yet. We've seen the prototypes of them, but let's say we see robotic systems in this. I mean, this thing here, to actually turn this on, I'm not going to do it now, but I put my thumb on this device at the bottom, and it's a fingerprint recognition system. Again, you can put your finger on in different places, and it'll recognize the fingerprint. That takes artificial intelligence. It's a robotic system, and therefore it is the type of system that we're looking at here, where it says they run like mighty men, they climb the wall like men of war, they shall march every one in his way and shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall on the sword, they shall not be wounded. So these things are they impervious? It's interesting, we've got a car, we hired a car for the feast, and it's got a forward-facing radar on it. Now, again, what does this have? It's got a proximity sensor. As you bring it up to your face, the proximity sensor switches off the screen. As you put it into your bag, the proximity sensor switches off the buttons or the sensors in it. And again, it's the same kind of things that we're looking at. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk everyone. And when they fall upon a sword, they shall not be wounded, presumably some kind of proximity sensor, incoming fire, and they have something to counteract that. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the walls, they shall climb up into the houses, they shall enter the windows like a thief. A tank does not enter a window like a thief. It just doesn't. But these do. And you're looking at the productive capacity to make these machines, which is necessary, from the east, it's in a certain location in the east of Jerusalem. And it's got to have the industrial capacity to do so. We're witnessing it right now. So when we do go ahead and pull out our mobile phone, and even predictive text is another thing. I mean, you type and it comes up with the examples for you. It's not exactly an AI function, but it's still along the same lines. But when you do go ahead and pull out your mobile phone, if it's a smartphone, just think about it. Just think about what I've said. Think about what it says here, because it says here, and the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Eternal shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word, for the day of the Eternal is great and a very terrible, and who can abide it? This is the final trumpet before Christ's return. This is the final last plague before the final last plague, the one just before the final last plague. And so as you do, go ahead, and you pull out the next time you use a smartphone, just think and consider this sign of the end time, that you're actually holding in your hand something that's very much tied, and probably tied in more than ways than we can imagine, to the army of Joel.